Chapter 6 Organizing and Related Ideas. The process of organizing is a major component of the management process, and it is based on the planning process, which was discussed in the previous chapter. However, this does not define or explain the process. Thus, the question remains, what is organizing? If you ask most people this question, they might say putting things in order or arranging things in an orderly way. The definition for organizations and their management is similar, but it is not exactly the same. This can be seen in the following definitions of the word organizing taken from the indicated sources. 1. The process of developing an orderly way for bringing together the physical and human resources that are essential to accomplish the goals of the enterprise. This was a quote Montana P. and Charnod B. 1993 Management, 2nd ed. Pages 149. 2. The managerial function of creating a structure of relationships that will enable employees to carry out management's plans and meet its objectives. This was a quote Hal Riegel, D. and Slocum, Jr., J.W. 1996 Management, 7th ed. Pages 767. 3. Efficiently bringing together human and material resources to attain objectives. This was a quote Luthans F. and Hojets R. 1992 Business 2nd ed. P. G. 9. 4. Determining what tasks are to be done, who is to do them, how the tasks are to be grouped, who reports to whom, and where decisions are to be made. This was a quote Robbins, S.P. 1996 Organizational Behavior 7th ed. P. G. 5. The definition created by Montana and Charnoff is the best on the list, because it includes both human and physical resources. Physical resources are an essential part of most organizations, and include such items as raw materials, tools, machinery and the buildings and land where the employees perform their work. The second and fourth definition leaves out all of the physical components in the organizing process, and only includes human resources. The definition created by Luthans and Hojets includes human and material resources. However, material resources is vague terminology. It obviously includes raw materials, but does it include tools, machinery and the buildings and land where the work is performed? I will give my own definition of organizing. To minimize deficiencies in my definition, I will use two paragraphs to define and explain the concept, as follows. Organizing is the process of arranging components in a specific way to obtain a goal. If we modify this definition so it specifically applies to organizations and their management, we obtain organizing as the process of arranging human and physical components to achieve organizational objectives. The word arranging means in this definition the physical arrangement of tools, machinery, raw materials, people, or other components as well as all of the following: obtaining appropriate managers, experts and workers, making raw materials, tools, and or machinery available to workers, finding qualified employees, organizational members and customers, the creation of personal contacts, the development of human relationships, such as with employees, suppliers, expert consultants, creation of communication channels between individuals and or machines, the creation of feedback channels, coordinating different components of the system, delegating authority, creating departments to carry out specific tasks, creating the overall structure and hierarchy of the organization, etc. The word goal in the definition is used in a very general sense, and it means one or more of the following: a specifically defined objective, a loosely defined objective, an objective that was never precisely defined, efforts to reduce overall risk, efforts to reduce a specific risk, efforts to increase overall functionality of a system, efforts to reduce dysfunctionality of a system, etc. The concept of organizing, as defined above, has two primary steps. The first step is to create plans that delineate the specific nature and shape of the organizational structure you are trying to create with your organizing efforts. This may be considered part of the planning process that was discussed in the previous chapter, or it certainly overlaps the planning process. Such plans can be created in the mind in simple situations, or on paper when the circumstances are complex. The second step is to create the organizational structure as indicated in the plans. This involves the actual process of arranging physical and human resources that relate to the attainment of organizational or personal goals. Another way of looking at organizing is from an abstract systems perspective. Organizing is the process of reducing entropy disorder in a system. This can be restated as organizing is the process of increasing order in a system. A orderly system is predictable and a disorderly system is unpredictable, especially in relation to predefined functions of the system. That is, An orderly system is likely to carry out its intended function, and a disorderly system is likely to behave in a random or chaotic way, and not carry out its intended function. In general, the greater the degree of order in the system, the greater the predictability and functionality, and vice versa. Thus, the system's perspective suggests that there can be a great value in organizing for the purpose of reducing disorder and increasing predictability and overall functionality of the system. That is, rearranging the components that comprise a system into a highly organized structure can have great practical value. If we examine organizational structures, it is apparent that organizing takes place at different levels, just as the planning process does. There is organizing that relates to the permanent or semi-permanent organizational structure. This is analogous to strategic planning, and in some cases may be the result of such planning. I will call this strategic organizing. There is organizing that relates to the creation of a specific product or service produced by the organization, which is likely to exist only during the life of the product. This is analogous to long-term planning, and can be directly related to long-term planning. Thus, I will call this long-term organizing. There is also a type of organizing that relates to the month-to-month, week-to-week and day-to-day goals and activities. This is analogous to operational planning, and in some cases may be the direct result of such planning. And finally, there is a type of organizing that relates to short-term activities, events and goals. I will call this short-term organizing. An example of this type of organizing is seen in special events, where the organized structure is temporary in nature, such as an organized Christmas celebration, the organizing of a temporary committee, etc. Thus, it is apparent from the above paragraph that organizing can be thought of in terms of a continuum, ranging from organizing that is meant to be permanent to organizing that is meant to last a very short interval of time. Organizing can be broken up into internal and external categories. Internal organizing is the organizing process that takes place within an organization, and it involves the employees, tools, machinery, and raw materials owned by the organization. Most of the organizing process that managers are involved with is internal in nature. External organizing is any organizing that an organization carries out in its external environment. This can involve developing relationships with other organizations, organizing distribution channels for the organization's products, developing relationships with customers, etc. The organizing process can also be divided into categories based on the type of organizing. That is, there is the organizing of people and their efforts, which are usually employees, organizing of physical resources such as tools, machinery, raw materials, and workspace, and organizing of information. The manager is likely to organize employees to perform the other organizing processes mentioned. Luthans and Hojets presented pages 1922-200 a five-step list, which provides additional insight into the organizing process. This list is as follows. 1. Formulate goals and objectives. This can be thought of as an extension of the planning process. That is, organizing is based on the goals that were set in a planning process, such as goals that relate to the production and marketing of a new product. In addition, there may be a specific set of goals that involve the organizing process, such as goals that relate to the organizing of the chain of command or how to organize the assembly line for maximum efficiency. This step can be applied to the organizing process that individuals carry out in their daily lives. People obviously make plans and set goals. However, people sometimes make plans that are specifically related to organizing. For example, an individual might plan to rearrange his furniture into a more organized arrangement during his vacation. A student might plan to reorganize his social life after he leaves school. 2. Develop coordination. This involves synchronizing the various components of the system so it functions in a harmonious way to produce the goals of the organization. That is, the efforts of individuals, departments, suppliers, and every other component of the organization should be synchronized to obtain the goals. If they are not synchronized, various actions will happen at inappropriate points in time. For example, when a new product is produced, the marketing department must be ready to market it. If the efforts of production and marketing are not coordinated, the new product might have to be stored until the marketing department has developed an effective advertising campaign and lines of distribution. This step sometimes applies to the individual. For example, when people organize parties, weddings, and similar events, it is important that efforts of all involved are coordinated. The food must be delivered, prepared, and arranged at a certain time. This means the efforts of the individuals involved in food preparation must be coordinated. The guests must arrive on time. In the case of the wedding, the efforts of the bride, groom, and priest or rabbi must be coordinated. 3. Delegate authority. This involves giving decision-making power and various tasks to others, who are usually subordinates. If the manager does not delegate enough authority to others, he will have to perform many of the tasks himself. Some organizational structures automatically delegate a considerable amount of authority to lower-level workers. This allows workers to make many important decisions themselves. Such workers might manage their own work and each other. The structure can eliminate the need for a large number of first-line managers. However, this might require the hiring of workers who are highly responsible and skilled. This can be more expensive than hiring workers who are less responsible and less skilled. There are organizational structures that are just the opposite of the above. The officials of such organizations do not delegate much authority to workers. Their employees must consult with their superiors who make the final decisions in the work environment. The employees in such organizations may have to communicate with superiors by detailed verbal explanations, filling out forms, or by written reports. The structure will generally require considerably more managers than the example discussed in the previous paragraph. However, it might be possible to hire less skilled and less responsible individuals than would be required with other structures. With this structure, the organization might save money by utilizing workers with low skill and reliability, but more money would probably be required to hire the additional managers needed to supervise the employees. Question: Do individuals in their personal lives delegate authority? The answer is yes. People generally organize a set of professionals, such as physicians, surgeons, dentists, lawyers, repair personnel to make some limited decisions and perform certain procedures. Usually, before such authority is delegated to the professional, the individual is informed of the procedure, and a consent form is signed. It might be different from the process that takes place in organizations, but it is still a process of delegating authority to another individual. A more extreme example of delegating occurs when an individual becomes severely physically or mentally disabled. The entire responsibility for the well-being of the individual might be delegated to others. 4. Shape the structure. There are various ways that an organization can be structured or shaped. The best structure will generally depend on the circumstances. Some of the primary components that can be involved in the shape of an organizational structure include the relative degree of flexibility of the organization, the number of managerial levels, the span of control. I will briefly discuss these components as follows. Flexibility. Some organizations are organized in a way that allows them to deal rapidly with changing the circumstances. Flexibility allows them to take advantage of opportunities and to adjust to adverse changes in their circumstances. There are, of course, organizations that are just the opposite, rigid. In addition, there are many organizations that are in between the two extremes. The number of managerial levels. The simplest organization can have one manager supervising a few workers, such as in a small privately owned business. Larger organizations usually require a hierarchy of managerial control, which might involve a CEO supervising several top managers, who supervises middle-level managers, who supervise first-line managers, who supervise the workers. In very large organizations, there can be many more levels of managers than expressed in the above example. In general, an organization should try to function with the least number of levels possible, because it is more efficient. The efficiency relates to the financial cost of hiring managers. However, there are other factors that relate to efficiency. It might be more difficult for people to communicate with the various segments of the organization when there are many managerial levels. 5. Departmentalize. The organizing process often involves the creation of departments, primarily in large organizations. Departments are created to achieve sub-goals that relate to main goals of the organization. For example, a large organization might create an engineering department to design new products, a production department to manufacture the product, a marketing department to advertise, distribute, and sell the product. This departmental division is obviously based on function. Another example is a departmental division based on geography. That is, a large organization can have different departments that serve the needs of specific geographical locations, such as the East Coast Division, the Midwest Division, the West Coast Division, and the International Export Division. Another division is by process, such as a furniture company that has a furniture construction department, a sanding department, and a varnishing department. Another departmental division can be based on the type of customer, such as separate departments for individual consumers, corporate accounts, and government accounts. In the smaller organizations, such as a small to medium-sized privately owned business, there are generally no departments. In these businesses, individuals might serve the function of a department. That is, there might be a division of labor based on any of the above examples, such as a division based on function, process, type of customer, etc. Most of the ideas expressed in the above paragraphs apply to individuals as well as organizations. This is seen when the ideas of strategic, long-term, operational, and short-term organizing are applied to the individual, as follows. Individuals engage in strategic organizing, just as organizations do, when they form relationships that are meant to be permanent or semi-permanent, such as marriage, and close personal friendships. If an individual arranges the structure of his house in a permanent way, such as by means of construction, he is engaged in a type of strategic organizing, which is based on the way the term was defined above. Long-term organizing is seen when an individual arranges his furniture and forms relationships that are likely to last only a couple of years, such as college friendships. The individual engages in operational organizing when he organizes the smaller items in his house, such as small electronic devices, kitchen utensils, books, important papers, etc. When an individual arranges a party, he is engaged in a type of short-term organizing. When the individual cleans his house and rearranges it, he is engaged in short-term organizing. In relation to the individual, the organizing process can be divided into three general types, which are mental organizing, social organizing, and physical organizing. These categories can also be highly relevant to people who want to manage others in an organizational structure. I will discuss each of these categories in the following 9 paragraphs. Mental organizing is a process that might not take place on a totally conscious level. It involves organizing thoughts, emotions, experiences, and other information in such a way as to increase the mental health and overall functionality of the individual. A general example of mental organizing is when an individual incorporates recently learned material with experiences and ideas learned in the past. Another general example is when an individual adjusts to a new life situation, which will most likely involve the organizing process. New situations, especially if they are disruptive or unexpected in nature, such as death of a relative, divorce, suddenly obtaining a huge sum of money, becoming extremely successful in a short period of time, can cause mental disorganization. This will necessitate reorganization to maintain prior levels of mental health and overall functioning. The organizing or reorganizing process can involve assessment of the new situation, the reassessment of past experiences, the emotional acceptance of the new situation, the learning of new material and skills needed in the new situation, and then organizing all of the above in a functional way. The mental organizing process might facilitate learning and the retention of information. That is, when individuals organize material they learned, they are probably more likely to develop a deep understanding of the material, and they are probably more likely to retain what they learned. This is especially the case if they organize the new material with their own ideas and with information they previously gained through the learning process. The mental organizing process, in the individual, can take place when people discuss their thoughts, beliefs, feelings, and experiences with others. The writing process can also result in mental organizing, in relation to the material that is being written. The above suggests the opposite question. What factors might interfere with the mental organizing, or reorganizing, processes? Probably all of the following high levels of prolonged anxiety. Lack of sleep. Overwork. Poor nutrition, a hostile boss, manager, supervisor, instructor, parent. Any type of unfriendly, unfair, or cruel treatment. Many life-disrupting experiences. A serious accident. Any type of illness. Etc. The mental organizing process applies to organizations, because they are primarily composed of people. When an individual first enters an organization, there may be a readjustment process required, which involves adjusting to the organizational culture, subculture, and learning the new skills required by the job. This requires mental organization and/or reorganization. Managers can use the ideas expressed above and the general principle of the mental organizing process in a practical way. They can understand that people must go through a mental organizing process, especially when they first become involved with the organization. The manager can do everything possible to avoid interfering with the mental organizing process. They can also do everything possible to facilitate the process. Social organizing is the process, carried out by the individual, when he forms various types of relationships, at various levels of closeness, with people. This process includes getting to know people, rejecting some people, keeping certain individuals at specific social distances, forming a closer relationship with certain individuals at a certain point in the development of the relationship, distancing the self from certain individuals at a certain point in the relationship, scheduling intervals of time to work or socialize with certain individuals, etc. This process is important for the individual because the nature, quality, and extent of his social organizing may affect his overall success. The process of social organizing is also relevant to the organization, because when people become involved with organizations, they inadvertently or intentionally organize their own social network within the organization. Physical organizing is the process that individuals carry out when they arrange physical entities in their environment. This includes arranging furniture, small portable items, papers, kitchen utensils, tools, etc. The ability for an individual to organize such items can have relevance to the manager. That is, employees might have different abilities or skill levels in relation to physical organizing, which might affect certain types of work performance. As is apparent from the above paragraphs, the organizing processes that the individual carries out are extremely important. The level of organization in a person's life and the ability he has to organize, in relation to mental, social, and physical organizing, is likely to affect his overall life chances, in all areas, including education, occupation, finances, physical and mental health. The different types of organizing can probably affect each other to some extent. For example, a mentally disorganized individual is likely to behave in a way that will cause social disorganization. Social disorganization is also likely to cause mental disorganization. This suggests that a vicious cycle can develop that might maintain a high level of disorder in the life of some individuals. And just the opposite is probably true with some people. That is, there are individuals who are highly mentally organized, which can lead to a socially and physically organized life, which can facilitate a high level of mental organization. In conclusion, it should be apparent from the above paragraphs that the organizing process is involved and complex. If organizing is inadequate, there is a high probability of a failure in relation to goal attainment. There are many problems that can manifest in the organizing process. The following is a list of questions that can help with organizing and solving related problems. What are your plans and goals? How do you have to organize to carry out your plans and obtain your goal S? Do you have a set of plans that specifically relate to the organizing process? How do you plan to organize the system? What are your specific goals in relation to your organizing efforts? Is there a high level of entropy disorder in the system you are trying to organize? How can you reduce the entropy in the system? How can you increase the overall level of order and functionality in the system? What components would you have to obtain or rearrange to achieve a high level of functionality in the system? Is your organizing effort related to strategic plans? Is your organizing effort related to long-term plans? Is your organizing effort related to operational plans? Is your organizing effort related to one or more of the above? Are you involved in short-term organizing? Are you involved in an internal or an external organizing effort? Does your organizing effort involve internal and external organizing? Are you organizing people, physical resources, or information? Are you organizing all of the above? Are your organizing efforts related to coordination of human and/or physical resources? If so, how can you schedule the related tasks, which must perform, in the most efficient way? Do you plan to delegate authority in your organizing efforts? If you delegate more authority, can you increase your work efficiency? If you delegate authority to subordinates, will any significant problems result? How do you expect to shape or structure your organization? How flexible will your structure be? How many levels of management will there be in your structure? Is it possible to reduce the number of levels in your organizational structure without the loss of productivity? Are you going to create departments with your organizing efforts? What functions will each department perform? Are your organizing efforts related to an organization? Are your organizing efforts related to your personal life? If it is related to your personal life, are you engaged in mental organizing, social organizing, or physical organizing? How can you increase the level of your mental organization? How can you increase the level of mental organization of the people that work with you? How can you reduce stress and disruptions, which cause mental disorganization, in your life and in the lives of the people that work with you? Do you have any social organizing goals? Are these goals related to friendship or the work environment? What is the primary purpose of your social organizing efforts? Do you have any physical organizing goals? How do you expect to carry out these goals? What organizing efforts would be required to increase the overall functionality and success in your life?